This is a Crestview Bible podcast. For more information, visit crestviewhutch.org.
If you've received a handout this morning from the ushers, you can see from the title that we're going to tackle a very weighty topic this morning, the area of forgiveness. As John reminded us earlier, we are considering the seven words, the seven statements of Jesus from the cross in the next few weeks. Here are the words that appear to be the first words from Jesus from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And this is found in Luke chapter 23, verse 34. So if you wish to, you can turn to that. I'll be referring to that this morning. The subject of forgiveness. Forgiveness is not for the faint of heart. If you've ever forgiven someone, or were unwilling to, or if you've ever received forgiveness, or didn't receive forgiveness, you know exactly what I mean. So we'll be referring to Luke 23 this morning, and if you'd like to turn there, I'm going to start by reading verse 32, excuse me, I'm not there yet either. So, we'll begin reading in verse 32. So chapter 23, starting with verse 32, I'll read through verse 35a. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him, Jesus, to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, or Calvary, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on the right, one on the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. And the people stood by looking on. So would you join me in prayer as we come before the Lord? Father, what we have just read is your word. We all thank you for your word. We're about to consider one of the very utterances of our Lord Jesus Christ while he was on the cross. Father, we know what your word says about itself. The word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, even penetrating as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So, Father, our prayer this morning is this would not be some academic, sterile classroom activity. But we want to hear from you. We want to hear from your heart. And if you would, Father, compare our hearts to your heart. And so would you do that work? Would you show us where we fall short of your heart? And this is something that we desperately need. So, Father, would you do that for us this morning? And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Luke chapter 23, verse 34, and Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. He starts out his very first word not addressing the crowd, but addressing his Father in heaven. He doesn't use the title Lord or God or King like David did when we just recited Psalm 145. But he refers to God as Father here, and that is not uncommon for Jesus. You see that throughout the New Testament. Even when he was 12 years old and his parents went to Jerusalem for one of the festivals and left without him and came back searching for him and found him in the temple, he said to them, "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. Did you not know I had to be in my Father's house? There's other times, if you go further in the chapter of Luke, we see that Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit your spirit. If I look across the page in my Bible to when he was in the garden praying, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but thine be done. So we see that repeatedly, how Jesus refers to his Father as Father. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love, with whom I am well pleased, in Matthew chapter 3. So there's confirmation from the Father above that this was indeed his Son, and God was his Father. And he did not forget that, even though he took on the form of flesh. By the way, anyone here need a word of encouragement today? Anybody need a word of encouragement? This is kind of related. Do you realize that we as believers have the privilege to address God as Father? It says in Romans 8, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. If you're a believer in Christ, you are adopted into his family. You are an adopted son, adopted daughter. We can claim that we are children of God. Not only that, not just children, but heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. He uses the term Abba Father here, which is a very tender, very intimate term of endearment. And we have that permission from Scripture to call God our Father. I'm showing my age here, but I remember a picture of President John F. Kennedy in his office, in the Oval Office, at his desk. He is dressed immaculately, suit, tie, working away, reading, signing, busy with his work. But underneath the desk is his little son, maybe 1 or 2 years old, John. And John is playing with his cars and trucks. Isn't that a neat picture of our relationship with the Lord? We have the privilege of calling him our Father. There's probably many dignitaries and prime ministers that would have loved to have been in the Oval Office and had 10 minutes with the President of the United States. But here's John playing under the desk, and he looks up, and that's his daddy, but he's also the President of the United States. So that's the intimacy we have with the Father, and we see that in here. First word that Jesus utters is on the cross is Father. He then says, Father, forgive them. Forgive. Forgiveness. Hard to explain forgiveness, even harder to do, because forgiveness requires sacrifice. The word forgive here is a verb. It's an action verb. An action verb initiates the action. It doesn't wait for action to happen. Think of forgiveness as canceling a debt. Maybe you've heard the expression, a loan forgiveness, and that's exactly what it is. It's a debt that has been canceled. Jesus tells a wonderful story, I wish I had time to read it, about a wealthy king who had a servant who owed him an incredible amount of money. That king was merciful because the man could not repay that great amount and forgave him his debt. However, that ungrateful servant then turned and insisted that another servant who owed him a much smaller amount pay him immediately. And of course, the wealthy king found out and was furious. Jesus prays that the Father would forgive, that the Father would cancel the debt. And I have to admit to you that if I was on the cross and my body was on fire because of pain, my back would have been shredded from the whipping, the crown of thorns pressed down, nailed to the cross. That's the last thing I would do. I'm afraid I would probably say, look down at the people, and I probably would say, I hope you all burn for what you've done. That's just my heart. But Jesus does not. He pleads with his Father to take action and forgive them. And so that's a little picture of our Savior. Have some verses here regarding forgiveness. I wanted to read to you here. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is from 1 John. If we confess our sins, if we agree with the Lord, he will forgive our sins. He who is faithful will forgive our sins. And he will also cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All means all, and that's all means. He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Steve earlier talked about the fact that he forgets our sins. He removes our sins. Psalm 103 says, he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. So good luck trying to figure out how far the east is from the west. If you do, you can measure how far he has removed our sins from us. And here is a verse, one of my favorites, that is really thrilling. It says in Psalm, David says in Psalm 86:5, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you. Can you picture a God who is ready to forgive? Ready. I think of sprinters who are at the starting line and they get in their blocks and they're anticipating the gun. The official, the judge raises the gun. They're primed, ready to go. They're listening for the gun. And as soon as the gun goes off, they explode down the lane in hopes of victory. Can you picture God like that? Can you picture God as a God who's ready to forgive when we call upon him, when we confess our sins? He's not reluctant. It's unconditional. Here's a challenge, and anybody here want a challenge? Raise your hand if you'd like a challenge here. Ephesians 4:32 says this, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So there's a challenge. He's calling us, just as he forgives, for us to forgive in the same way. So there's a challenge for us all, to be ready to forgive one another, to be faithful, to wipe the slate clean, to forget the debt that's owed. So, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. The next word I want to treat is them. Who are the them? Father, forgive them. Well, we can start by listing all those who are mentioned here in chapter 23, Pilate, the Roman soldiers, centurion, Pharisees, scribes, mob at the trial, the great multitudes that followed the procession out to the cross, The disciples were there. There was a criminal on each side of Jesus. The women were lamenting, including Mary, his mother, Mary Magdalene. Who else? Who else is the them? Father, forgive them. Well, I'm going to give you a hint from Romans chapter 3. It says, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. So that's pretty inclusive, isn't it? All of us. We are the them that he refers to, not just those at the scene. He, at that time, asked the Father to forgive them, forgive all for their sins. Then he says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. So I have some thoughts on that. I brought in Philippians 2, 6, and 7. So kind of listen to see if you can kind of tell what he means by they don't know what they're doing. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Jesus was God, the form of God, but he emptied himself. He became a servant, born in the likeness of men. Maybe that's why people didn't recognize who he was. If he came in his glory, they would obviously recognize him. Colossians 1:19, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. So Jesus certainly was God. And in the upper room, Thomas said, show us the Father, it'll be enough. And Jesus replied, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And so, when Jesus says, for they do not know what they are doing, here's what they were doing. They were executing God the Son. That's what they were doing. So we had a hand in that, didn't it? We have blood on our hands. We were also guilty, even though we weren't at the scene. But it was all part of God's plan. It all fit together. It all came together. God orchestrated all of this according to his plan of salvation. And all of Scripture, all of prophecy, all was fulfilled at that point. Don't we have a song, the chorus that goes, amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? So that was what was going on. They were executing the Son of God, the very God. Well, I have some applications. These are my applications, and maybe you've made some applications too, but these are some applications that occurred to me. We already talked about being challenged to forgive others, just as God in Christ has forgiven us. Jesus gives an additional challenge. He said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So just like as Steve led us through the time of communion, we are all one. We are all the body of Christ. We're called to forgive one another completely. We're called to love one another. And what is the bar? What is the standard? As Christ has forgiven us, as Christ has loved us. How did he love us? He gave his life for us. He sacrificed himself for our benefit. When God says that he loves us, that's not just talk. We're familiar with John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. But I want us to focus on the word so, for God so loved the world. Jesus said, "There's no greater love than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends." That's love. That kind of makes all of our definitions of love pale in comparison to that. There is no greater love than that. So I hope you heard this in some of these verses this morning. I don't want you to leave thinking that forgiveness is some business transaction or some accounting term where you wipe the slate clean. It is, but it's motivated by love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The other application is experience forgiveness from the Father. Welcome his forgiveness. Relish his forgiveness. Bask in his forgiveness. He has fully forgiven you. If you're in Christ, you are fully forgiven. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. There's no sin, there's no amount of sin, there's no grievous sin, terrible sin that his grace cannot cover. So know that if you're burdened by sin and guilt, Jesus' grace covers that sin. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. The flip side is, the other extreme, is sometimes we think, well, we're not so bad. We're not so much a sinner as this other person. Well, here comes James 2:10. It says, "For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he's become guilty of all." So if you want to live that way, if you want to live according to your good works and how great you are, guess what? One sin deems you guilty, because God doesn't see as man sees. Man looks at the outer appearance, but God looks at the heart. He knows what is in your heart. He knows the sin that is there despite our efforts to look good. So just remember that if you are burdened by so much sin, or you're feeling pretty good about yourself, we all need forgiveness, and that forgiveness is available through Christ. I have an application here: hunger and thirst to know the God who is so willing to forgive you and me. Paul said, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting all as rubbish, as garbage, so that I may gain Christ. Sometimes we don't have that attitude, do we? Other things come into play, and they compete with our affection for the Lord. But think of who we have as our God. Think of our Savior and what he has done for us. And then finally, and John brought this out as he introduced this, there are those in the world right now who have never heard this good news. There are people in the world that have never heard Jesus say from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." There's people that do not have a Bible. There's people that never hear the gospel preached. There's people in the world that have never heard the name of Jesus. And I think we're talking billions, maybe 2 billion people in that situation. So here's the application. Jesus said, pray that the Lord of harvest will send out laborers into his harvest. The harvest is ready. The harvest is plentiful, but there are not enough laborers. So that's what God calls us to do, is pray that he would send out, the Lord of the harvest would send out laborers into his harvest. Well, that's all I have. Let's go ahead and turn to prayer here and thank God for our time. Thank you again for your attention. Father, we do want to come before you and thank you for your wonderful Son, What a wonderful Savior. He has sacrificed, you have sacrificed him for our account. And as a result, our accounts, our ledgers are clean as a whistle. You have cleaned us. You have washed us. We no longer have the stain of sin to our accounts. Thank you for that. Father, our desire is that we would learn to forgive one another as you have forgiven us. What a standard, but Father, would you do that for us as a body here? And that we would take seriously the commandment that Jesus gave, love one another as I have loved you. Tall order, but Father, would you do that work? Would you help us as a body love one another like Jesus did, which was sacrificial, unconditional love? Father, would you help us understand forgiveness? We did a drive-by of forgiveness today. Would you help us fully understand it? Some here are just burdened and gripped by guilt, and their need of forgiveness, but Father, it is available from you. You lavish forgiveness on us. You're ready to forgive. You're slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Thank you for that. Father, give us a hunger and thirst to know you. Help us not be satisfied with where we stand in our relationship with you and our knowledge of you. Help us to come to know you intimately. And thank you that you make yourself available to us intimately. And Father, there are those in the world who are in dire straits. They know of you because of your creation. No one has that excuse. They know from their conscience that stealing and lying and murdering are wrong. But Father, they don't have the solution. They don't know about Christ. So Father, would you raise up laborers to go into your harvest and reap? So Father, thank you for our time this morning. Thank you for the privilege of knowing you and being known by you. And thank you for your wonderful forgiveness. We, again, just can't get over the fact that Jesus would begin by saying, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. Thank you for your Son and the forgiveness that's available through him. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.